Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy McDuke. I'm joined, as always, by John the Brain Sheeran. And John, today we have a lot to talk about because the Bengals are back. And we are playing our old nemesis, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But before we get to that, John, first of all, how are you on this holiday week, which I'm giving the week off early? You can leave 4 p.m. on Thursday. You are free to do whatever you want.
But back in the office by what, 11 that night?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, but John, here's the thing. First of all, I want to talk about introduction. Because you can watch this show also on Brinks.tv. And if you do that, I don't know if, John, have you ever been to those theaters, the luxury theaters, where they bring you food and they massage your feet? And that is the experience you could have on Brinks.tv. So if you switch over there, you will love it. And really, Brinks is doing a lot of great things, John. And I want to just review some of their most recent update. So what I have here is, okay, they have a new podcast, John. It is called Pillow Talk. And it is hosted by Mike Lindell. I don't know if you know who he is, but basically it is things you feel like are screaming into your pillow. Like when there is unfair outcomes or results, like a lot of Bengals and Steelers games. And Pillow Talk is a very popular podcast on the network right now. But Courtney, correct me if I'm wrong, Ray Lewis, the Ray Lewis Show, he's had a lot of great guests. And most recently he had, hold on, Henry Kissinger?
No, so close.
Because it is... The show is about muscularity, clarity, and a championship mentality. And of course, Kissinger is the champion of developing societies and other civilizations. But they also had on the radio show very recently, they had Julian Edelman. That's a real guest that they had.
That one's true.
That one is true. So you want to check out Brinks.tv and subscribe. It is the first 3 hours, I think, are free. And after that, the subscription is only $8.99 a day. Is that right, Courtney?
No, all free all the time.
Wow. All free all the time. So you definitely want to go there. Okay. Let us go to recap Bengals versus Raiders. Now, John, the Bengals, okay, were in a gritty match. And we talked about this right after the game. They had a hard-fought game, but then they pulled it out, and then they disposed of their opponents. They didn't let them hang around, and they stepped on their throats. That's what I liked about it.
Well, the Raiders just made so many mistakes in that game.
Yeah.
And I think it was interesting how Zach Taylor said in the locker room afterwards that they were in a similar position 3 weeks ago when they were up by 11 to the New York Jets with less than 10 minutes to go in that game. Bengals let them back in due to poor tackling issues that had plagued them all that game, and a turnover on offense basically got the Jets back in, and the Jets ended up winning. Bengals were in a similar situation in this game, and instead of, like you said, instead of blowing it, the Bengals continued to capitalize on just a terrible day by both the Raiders' offense and defense. Raiders defense, it lived off that pass rush that limited what the Bengals could do offensively, but I think their commitment to the run game helped them close out this game, and that commitment was aided by the fact that the Bengals defense came to play and had, I think, their best tackling day of the season against an offense that, in the first at least 7 weeks of the season, was really good. But, I mean, there are major issues with Las Vegas right now, and that is not a team that the Bengals could afford to lose, and especially blow a late lead like that and expect to stay in the playoff race. So an ugly win looks like a really good win on paper, but an ugly win, but a win that they had to have based off of how that opponent played and based off what they still have to do in the next seven games.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned how much I love the secondary's performance, you know, holding Derek Carr and the passing. I mean, the tight end, we've had always had problems with tight ends, Darren Waller. But yeah, I think the fact that you think it was their best tackling game, that's a big deal for me. It's a very big deal.
I mean, the numbers back that up. And even if, like, Waller didn't find the end zone, he was still really good up the middle of the field. And I think the only touchdown from the Raiders was a tight end in one-on-one coverage against Logan Wilson, who had a really bad day and has had, like, a bad stretch of three games now. So that's a little bit concerning. But, yeah, like, the same things that have plagued the Bengals in terms of tight end production, that was a factor in this game. It's just that the Raiders, they don't have a lot of explosive options at receiver right now. And Derek Carr looks like a shell of the version of himself that he was in the first 7 weeks. So, you know, that was a factor that going into the game, it made this matchup interesting because Carr had been productive this season. But even when Joe Burrow didn't play very well, Derek Carr didn't play very well either. So both those things kind of canceled each other out. And then the Bengals eventually found success in the running game and with their offensive line late in the game. And it's great that the Bengals found a way to win despite a lackluster performance from their quarterback. And that's going to be important when they're playing in these games late in the season. And maybe, you know, there are going to be other circumstances that make these games kind of ugly. And to find ways to win, among other things, besides just a solid passing game, I think that's important.
I do too. And speaking of ugly, can we go to the next topic? I want to talk about the Steelers and their entire roster. And John, you were saying ugly games, and we're used to the AFC North being these ugly, brutal, you know, kind of bloodied, bruising, you know, bone crunching kind of games. But the Steelers' defense is not what it was. You know, our defense has had tackling issues. We make the big plays, we get some sacks, but we've been giving up points and yards, right? I mean, you know, the Raiders were a mess, but I mean, you look at the Jets and the Browns, and you know, it's all kind of like the defense is showing its true colors, let's say. And the Steelers just gave up what, 41 points or something to the Chargers.
I mean, they had no one healthy. They had T.J. Watt out. They had Minkah Fitzpatrick out. They've had a bunch of injuries along the defensive line. I think they're going to get most, if not all, of those players back. So it's going to be a better defense than what we saw on Sunday night against the Chargers. And it's going to be better and more prepared than what the Bengals went up against in Week 3. But at the same time, like, yeah, again, it's not that same defense that we're used to, and in the past that has led to some ugly games and some chippy games and whatnot. But even in Week 3, like, that was the cleanest game that the Bengals have ever played against the Steelers in recent memory. They beat them by 14 points. They were dominant defensively, and they had explosive plays on offense. And I think that's going to be another factor in sustaining that success, getting that explosive factor back into their offensive attack against the defense that is still kind of reeling right now, even with the returns of some of those guys. Like, they still played against Minkah Fitzpatrick back in Week 3, and he was basically a non-factor in that game. It's going to be how they adjust their protection plan by dealing with T.J. Watt, who they didn't have to play against in Week 3. He can make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, making a big difference, and you talked about T.J. Watt, we don't know if he's back. But, John, I want to go to along the lines and talk about Cameron Hayward, who kind of...
This guy.
I mean, here's the thing, John. Okay. I'm a Bengals fan. So obviously, I think the Steelers are dirty. So a lot of people like think, okay, he's biased. So I want the fans and the viewers on Brinks.tv and on, you know, Fox News or wherever else this is being broadcast, I want them to honestly and objectively watch the tape and tell me if you think this man should have been suspended, because I think he should have, John. And just look closely at the video Courtney, do you have that anywhere available? Because, okay.
Yes, there's Herbert. Yeah, he's running. Yep.
See, that is a dirty play. I mean, I don't know. However you want to spin it, I'm not a football expert, but I don't see how he doesn't get suspended, John.
Maybe Cam Hayward's just a cinema buff, and he wanted to recreate a famous movie back in the maybe. 90s.
Maybe.
But Cam Hayward has, aside from Troy Polamalu, he's been the Steeler that I've, I don't want to say enjoyed, but disliked the least, because he's a great guy off the field and he's a fantastic player. But to see what he did, it was so confusing, first of all.
And tell them what he did, by the way, John, because I don't know, some people, maybe the video wasn't clear for them.
It was bizarre. It was Justin Herbert was running for the first down, and Cam Hayward ended up on top of him. And there was a Charger that saw this guy on top of his quarterback, and I think he might have said something or provoked him to get off. And then Hayward kind of jumped up, shoved the Charger next to Herbert, and then proceeded to look back down at Herbert, who he was still on top of, and then just shove him into the ground. And
he punched him.
It was a bad punch or not? It was a bad punch.
It was a very Steelers punch.
But again, I don't understand the reason why he did that. And obviously, it should have been flagged. Like that's just not
John,
smart or allowed.
Hold on. What? We're talking about a coach who tried to trip a return man.
No, I know. But
they're always that is their attitude. It is kind of like, okay, the Patriots, it's more about schematically cheating. For the Steelers, it's like getting the physical edge cheating. It is part of how they win. Right?
It was just
weird.
Go ahead. But these were usual suspects. We've seen this type of behavior from specific individuals who wear that jersey. Cam Hayward has always been not really involved in that part of the conversation. So to see that player do something along those lines, those antics, I think it does
it rubs off on
to
you
that culture. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's like, you know, it is like Hoji, right? I mean, he's been on the show so long that, you know, for Thanksgiving, I normally have turkey with, you know, like, let's say beef studded mashed potatoes. Like, I like to get meat in all of the different items, but Hoji is rubbed off on me and now I'm just kind of weaker. And that is why I'm lower in energy. If you notice, I'm very low energy because I've cut out a lot of the meats. But yeah, I get what you're saying, John, but no, I think the Steeler way, it really rubs off on them after a while. But let us go to, and actually I think the good ones get away, you know, like, Emmanuel Sanders, he's a good guy, you know. He ran away. Let's go to QB matchup. And so you have Joe Burrow versus Ben Roethlisberger, who, whatever you may think of his physical limitations, he's still getting it done to some degree. You know, I mean, he's still, you know, keeping that offense.
Is he channeling power from like an unknown and illegal source? Like, is he one of those witches who like keeps like old people like in their basement and kind of sucks their energy from their life force to make him somewhat of a manageable quarterback? Because I don't know how he's still making some of these throws, honestly. Every time I think he's going to throw his last 40-yard pass, he somehow makes another one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Brett Favre. I mean, you remember Brett Favre? I mean, towards the end, it's like when you have such a big arm, you know, you can be out of shape and you know, be just a very, like a big mess. You can look like a mashed potato. That is what he looks like at this point. But, you know, you can still get it done, you know?
And it's not like he's, like, playing well right now. But it's weird. No, it's because last year he was coming off of an elbow injury and he looked somewhat decent in the beginning of 2020. And then he completely fell off the cliff. And then this year it was bad in the beginning. And now it's a little bit better than it was, but it's still not enough where you can say, hey, yeah, you should be scared of this offense for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, look, it's like, you know, it's like the whole kind of culture and the offense and everything, the receivers, they kind of build that team around him. You know, they get the guys who he can kind of improvise with and it still works. You know, the offense isn't the problem so much this year. So, but I mean, look, Joe Burrow is going to have to get back. Like, they had a dynamite game against the Steelers the first time this season. You know, Jamar Chase had some really nifty catches. So we're going to need them to put up points. And that takes me to predictions. And John, I want you to dig deep, okay? Because I feel like last week, John, you were a little scared. You're a little scared about predicting the Bengals because they had hurt you. It's okay, John. You can tell me. You can open up. But they hurt you 2 weeks in a row. 3 weeks. The bye week, they did nothing. Absolutely nothing. So 3 weeks in a row, they crushed your spirits, and you were afraid to pick them to win. But this is the Steelers, John. And the Bengals just had a well-rounded win. They put it all together. They're not afraid of anybody. Yes, he will. Drake Holly, old friend of the show, he asked if Chase is going to win the Rookie of the Year. Yes, he will, ultimately. He's going to catch fire again late in the season. But John, tell me, what do you think is going to happen? And who's the player of the game?
I must address, like, if my nickname is to be the brain, like, yes. not just...
It's logic, relative to us, to me and Jose.
Not just logic is stored in the brain, but also it's emotions. People think that, like, the heart is where you get all of, like, your feels, but it's actually, it's neurological. It comes from your brain. The Bengals didn't hurt me. I'm not hurt by anything that the Bengals do. The Bengals hurt themselves by the way that they played against the Jets and the Browns and their recent history coming off of bye weeks. That is all the logic and rationale that led me to believe that they would struggle against a team that could really rush the passer, and a team earlier in the season was good passing the ball in the Raiders. That is why I expected the Bengals to lose that game. There is also logic in picking against the Bengals this week, because if they have TJ Watt back, like, that was a huge difference in the Bengals' Week 3 victory. The fact that Joe Burrow didn't get sacked against the Steelers pass rush that didn't have Alex Highsmith or TJ Watt, and Jamar Chase had a really good game in that game, it led to how that game turned out to be. I don't know if that same effectiveness is going to be seen there with the return of Y, with the return of Joe Hayden, and with Jamar Chase not playing his best in recent weeks. So this game, I think, should be a lot closer. The Steelers usually play the Bengals pretty well in Cincinnati. But at the same time, I look at how this rivalry has played out in the last two games. I don't think the Bengals are scared of the history of this rivalry. I didn't think this back in Week 3, and I certainly don't think this back now. I think they're going to get a better Steelers performance in this game, because they're also going to be thinking about how the Bengals basically made them quit in that fourth quarter, and that is 100% a fact. Tyler Boyd is correct about that. But, you know, the Bengals aren't scared, and the Bengals are starting to catch their footing a little bit. They're starting to gain more
confidence.
They're
the better team. They're the better team.
And I think that is what, despite the improvements that TJ Watt can make to that pass rush, Joe Burrow's going to have some struggles with that. I still think the Bengals come out on top here by a score of like 23-20.
And who's your player of the game, Jen?
Player of the game? I'm going to go with Joe Burrow, actually.
Yeah. I like it.
I think he overcomes some pass rushing struggles. I think he goes another week without throwing an interception. It's not going to be a great game, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of great games, great performances in this game. I think Burrow's going to play well enough, though, to win.
I love it. John, you know, I'll tell you this. I'm just going to give it to you straight. You know, I give you, it's nothing but fair and balanced predictions. And I think it's going to be a barn burner. Do you know what, are you familiar with the term, John?
I'm familiar with what the term means.
It's an absolute barn burner. No, it's a barn. It's going to be a barn burner. And it's, you know, the Bengals, look, I really do think that they will be able to pull it out. Yes, Rick, basically you nailed it. It is going to be 37-21. That is what's going to happen.
It's going to be 37-21. What is the barn here? Like, is the barn just burning alive? No. Like the Steelers' faith or like
what's happening? No. After the Bengals win, the people in Pittsburgh will go home to their barns and burn them down out of frustration. That is what the barn burner means. So yes, the Bengals are going to win by 16. And I think Jamar Chase is going to hurt them again. I think it's going to be Jamar Chase again who hurts them. Yes, they will win by 2 touchdowns. I would say they will win by 2 touchdowns or 2 two-point conversions. That is my prediction. But John, you know, it's a very special time for people. It's a family time.
It is.
And, you know, people, I like the fact that people can be open about their lifestyles. People can love whoever they want. And me personally, my family is, Courtney, could we get the, yes, my family is my money, John. And I want to spend this time with my money, the way that you and the people out there want to spend the time with their loved ones. The problem is, John, we don't have any money. We don't have any people giving us money. We have to, John, look, I went out to Kroger. You see my shopping bag right there. And all I could afford was literally peanuts. I couldn't even get the whole bag. I had to, basically there was an already open pack, and I was like, but that's the struggle I go through, John. That's the struggle we go through to keep this show afloat. But if you love this show and you want to see Dr. Hoji Director Gasmoji back and better than ever before with the microphone, just in time for the holiday season, you can patronize us. Be patronizing towards us. I don't know, Courtney, I don't know what the term is. Treat us patronizingly. You can do all of those things. And we will give back to the community with these takes. And we will, obviously, you know, we are going to keep this show going until Mike Brown forces us to take it off the air. We've been close a few times, but he hasn't had the legal counsel, sufficient. So, John, that is all I have. But remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel, leave a comment, give a thumbs up, turn on notifications, go to the Bengals, number one Bengals podcast on all the different podcast forums. We're on the Believe Podcast Network. Leave a 5-star review, subscribe, follow John on Twitter, read his articles on cincyjungle.com. And for John Sheeran, I'm Daddy McDuke. That is all we have. We'll see you next time. So long, SVT. Pies.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.